He begins his book by telling the believer where he stands with God. We should look for spiritual blessings, pray for spiritual blessings. We should have in mind that God does give spiritual blessings. He blesses us in many different ways, sometimes with joy, sometimes with peace, sometimes helping us with endurance, building that spiritual fruit in our life. But we have to remember that we have already also received spiritual blessings in verse 3. Remember some of the blessings that we've received. Verse 4, God has chosen us in Christ to be holy and blameless in His sight. I see that God has predestined us to the adoption as God's children, a new relationship with Him. That we are graced in Christ, that we have been redeemed through Christ's blood, that He has revealed the mystery of the gospel to us. Listen, we've got spiritual blessings. You have heard God's word, the gospel. And I hope you've put your faith in Jesus Christ as a result of it. And having put your faith in Jesus Christ as a result of it, what you have seen is that God has changed and blessed in a magnificent way. How is He blessed with these different things? Making you right before Him. That is, when God sees you, He sees the righteousness of Christ because Christ, God has put that on your account. He has predestined you to the adoption as God's children, a new relationship that we have with God. He has, in some versions, mine it says, accepted us in the beloved. Literally, He has graced us in Him. He has revealed this mystery to us, but this mystery goes a little bit further. You see two more things there. In verse 11, verse 13, God has given us an inheritance. One of the spiritual blessings is an inheritance, not just an inheritance, a guaranteed inheritance. One that is sealed by the Holy Spirit. So here we are today looking at God's Word. And Paul begins by telling the Ephesians, made up of Jews and Gentiles, the church there in Ephesus, which would be the land of what we call today Turkey, used to be called Asia Minor. And there on the west coast, there it is, Ephesus, large city. Many people there. And there in that city, he's telling this church made up of Jews and Gentiles, ones that have put their faith in Christ. Because you put your faith in Christ, this is where you stand with God and you have a great inheritance from them. A guaranteed inheritance. This passage teaches us that God, for His own purpose and His glory, has guaranteed you a special inheritance. Now, wouldn't you like to know what your inheritance is? I was listening to the radio and caught about maybe 30 seconds of something. I switched from one station to another. And in there, they were talking about one of the things that a family should do is they should sit down and talk about the inheritance, who gets what and why. So, they gave an example of if one person is getting something, it should be explained, why are they only getting that? Or why does it seem like they're getting the special deal out of it? I think the answer is because we love that person more. But I don't think that's probably what they meant. An inheritance. I've been to funerals and heard of nightmares of funerals where when a person passed away, you know what was on everybody's mind? What they're going to get out of the deal. How much are they going to get? Or are they going to get this? What kind of inheritance could we get from God? Have you ever thought about that? What are you going to get? You know, the disciples, they were walking with Jesus, and they did this on more than one occasion. And they would discuss who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Which one of the 12 of them is going to be, you know, this is the guy at the top. And Jesus, on more than one occasion, would rebuke them. And he told them the one that was servant among them would be one that would be leading them. Leadership is we have different philosophy in our world than what God has in mind. God has an idea of servant leaders. The world has an idea of dictator leaders. What inheritance are we going to get from God? They were discussing who's going to be the greatest? You know, what are we going to get out of this? See, we've left everything. What's the benefit? Well, as a believer, that might be a good question. What do we get out of this? Well, I'm glad you asked. Paul has the answer. You have an inheritance from God. And of this inheritance, one of the things of this inheritance is a new place. Now, this one's kind of obvious, isn't it? It's heaven. We're going to be in heaven. Now, you know, when we stand before God, God will look and open the books and see our name, who have put our faith in Christ, in the book of life. And for us, we'll be welcomed into his presence, welcomed to heaven. What is heaven like? Well, you come on Sunday nights and it will become more clear to you. But heaven is a wonderful place, isn't it? Isn't that what the song says? And we can think about heaven the way it's going to look. You know, we think of heaven as where God is, which is true. But there's more to this inheritance than that. We will be in heaven. We'll have a new place. It'll be eternal life. John 3:16 is familiar to you, that when we put our faith in Christ, we have eternal life. And along with that, John writes what Jesus says in John chapter 14, 2 and 3. In my Father's house there are many rooms. If it was not so, I would have told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, so that way where I am, there you can be also. Jesus has made the promise that when we put our faith in him, we're going to have a place in heaven where everything is perfect. Now, let me share with you a little bit about this. Not only are we going to be in heaven, if we follow what we find in the scripture, we'll be in heaven, and then we will come back to earth. That doesn't sound like a very good trade, does it? But when we come back, we're going to be part of Jesus Christ, his kingdom, the kingdom of God. You see that kingdom looked forward to, anticipated in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, explained a little more. That is where you literally will see the lion laid down with the lamb. Actually, it's the wolf and the lamb, but, you know, we're going to mix it up there a little bit in the book of Isaiah. We are told that that's where there will be every Miss America's dream will come true. We will have world peace. Jesus Christ be at the top. We'll be in this world where you won't have ISIS. You won't have the battles, the civil wars going on in nations. You won't have the struggles. You tell I got the bit low my voice there, don't you? You can tell there are struggles that we have. We will not have them there. I'll mention this later, but you and I as believers, we'll participate as rulers in this kingdom with Christ. So not only will we be in heaven, we'll be part of the kingdom of God, but finally get to the New Jerusalem. Now, you've heard heaven described this way, but actually these words are described of the New Jerusalem, and find them in the book of Revelation. Streets of gold, gates of pearl. The foundation of the stones all around will be various gems, and it in my imagination it's not like, oh well, there's an emerald, you know, or like the diamond that you got for your wife, the little diamond that you got for when you got engaged, because that's all you could afford. And so, you know, it wasn't until after you got married, she thought maybe it should have been about that big around instead. I'm thinking, in my mind, because it's not exactly spelled out, but it says that the stones are the different jewels. An emerald, one of the stones maybe of an emerald like this big. Could you imagine what that would be like? That'd just be huge, literally. Think of the beauty of it, the sounds of it. On Sunday nights, we've been going through Revelation, and the sounds of the worship that will be there. It'll be a fantastic place. So what inheritance does a believer have? You have all that coming to you. Think about that for a minute. That's pretty fantastic. So now when you're thinking about when you know your parents or grandparents pass away, and if you get anything from them, you know, that's kind of cool. Or the red Corvette. The red Corvette really doesn't compare to the inheritance we have from God. But that's not all. We're going to have a new body. Our body's going to be new. This is, you thought the other was good. This is really good. First Corinthians chapter 15, verses 52 to 54. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed, for the perishable, our body that dies, must clothe itself with imperishable, a body that doesn't die, the mortal with immortality. And when the perishable has been clothed with imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true, death is swallowed up in victory. In other words, you won't die anymore. You see, when Jesus says you'll have everlasting life, he means you will live forever. And we might think to ourselves again, I'd hate to live forever. The last couple of days, my knee has bothered me. Sound like I'm old, don't I? But I blame it on an old ski injury, and I'm sticking to that one. It's bothered me, and so sometimes it hurts me to walk around and such. We've got illness in our house, and so we need like a big quarantine sign on the house or something. They're on the right direction, so next couple of days I think will be pretty good. But we got sickness and illness. Some of you got arthritis. Some have illnesses and diseases, and there's cancers, and there's just all kinds of aches and pains. The tiredness of going through the day, you know, it gets to the end of the day and you're whipped. None of that's going to be there. Revelation 7, verses 16 to 17. Never again will they hunger. That doesn't mean that you can't eat, but the idea is you won't be going hungry. And never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them. It won't be burdensome to them. You go out in the hot, scorching heat. You know how it just completely drains all your energy. And you don't feel like doing much, and then you get sunburned. That's why you got to wear a hat on your head so you don't burn. And you know, all those things. This says that won't bother them anymore. The Lamb, it says, for the Lamb is at the center of the throne, will be their shepherd, their guide. He will lead them in springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Oh, pay attention to that one. Revelation chapter 21, verses 3 and 4. They're talking about the New Jerusalem. It says, heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling place of God is with men. He will live with them. God is everywhere all at the same time, but we don't see Him in His personal presence. But that time we will. And it says, God Himself will be with them and be their God, and He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death, nor mourning, nor crying, nor pain. The old order of things is passed away. You're going to get a new body. You'll look as fabulous as you ever did. You look pretty fabulous now. You'll look fabulous. You'll probably smell fabulous. That's just a guess. And you'll feel fabulous. Can you imagine one day you won't worry about a thing? Could you imagine that? You're not going to worry about, you know, if you got enough money. You won't worry about if you get in a car accident. You won't worry about if you're going to survive to the next day. You won't worry about any of those things. Emotionally, not only physically will you be changed, emotionally, we won't struggle with, sometimes we struggle with our emotions. We lose our temper or we worry. We won't have that. We won't have that fear. Our faith will be perfect. And spiritually, what would you be if you were spiritually perfect? I mean, we've got the Holy Spirit living in us, we'll see, but what if just absolutely there's no influence of the sin nature? You weren't tempted by sin whatsoever. And what if you were spiritually mature as you ever could be? What would that look like in your life? How would you think? How would you act? I suppose, if we're honest, it'd be quite a bit different from what we are now. You'll be there. That's part of our inheritance. You, if you've been reading the book, going on, coming on Sunday nights, and going through the book of Revelation, it's been kind of hard sometimes to try to imagine what it would be like. Reading through the book of Ezekiel. Have you ever read through the book of Ezekiel? I'm sure you have at some point. Do it again. It's weird. The descriptions of the living creatures from heaven is strange. Like, I don't know that I want to see these things. We think about our inheritance. Consider this verse from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. However, it is written, eye has not seen, and the ear has not heard, and the mind has not conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. Whatever we might try to imagine what heaven is like, what it'll be like in the new kingdom, in the kingdom of God, when Christ reigns literally here on earth, when He comes back with the believers. And we have a lot of description in the Old Testament, but just how is that all going to play out? And to think through what it might be like to be in the presence of God and in the New Jerusalem. Truth is, we can't imagine, he says. And we can imagine a lot of things. All right, just think of all the things we come up with. The superheroes we come up with perfect worlds and all kinds of books and movies and such. We come up with all kinds of things, but what's it really going to be like? You'll experience heaven, the kingdom of God during the millennium and the eternal state, including the New Jerusalem with the streets of gold, so pure that they're translucent. Well, that's a pretty good inheritance, isn't it? You see, it's one of the spiritual blessings that the believer has been blessed with. We also have a new position. We have a position that won't change. Having put our faith in Jesus Christ, we are His children. We are adopted into His family, born into His family. We have these promises. But one day when Christ comes, we will rule with Him. as priests and kings. In Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 and 6 says, and from Jesus Christ, who is faithful witness from the firstborn of the dead and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him, Jesus, who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom and priest to serve his God and Father. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12, it says, we will reign with him. You see, you and I will have a new position. I thought through this a little bit. One day, we are going to be leaders, to be rulers in the kingdom of God. Christ, of course, will be the head, and then we'll be vice president and secretary of state and whatever else in his kingdom there will be. We might have a small portion of land or a large portion of land and people that we would come along and assist and help and lead to do God's will. Would you like to see what that's going to look like? Well, you have to wait. We'll get there. I thought about that a little bit. As kings and priests. Kings, an authority, but priests, ones who bring to God. What are we now? Have you considered that? I read passages like that and I say, am I practicing? One day I'm going to have to make decisions that is consistent with who God is. Now, granted, we'll be different, but the same. Different, but the same. Huh. But we will be different. But I wonder, should we be practicing that now? Making good decisions for God and helping others do the same? Bring others to Christ? We will one day. When do we receive this inheritance, we might ask? Well, most obviously when we die, right? Or when Christ comes to take us to heaven. Presently, we have a special relationship with God and these different spiritual blessings, and they are a guarantee. They're guaranteed to us. You're guaranteed this inheritance. It came around to March Madness, and everybody had to have their permission forms and their money in. And you're not going unless I got money. That's the rule that I have. And what that is I'm not going to put your name down and tell the person in charge you're going unless I have your money. Because if I have your money, then I know you're going to go. Well, I had a couple of gals from Council Bluffs that said they were going to go. And I said, well, you know, I don't have any money or anything from you. So this is what we did. I said, I tell you what, if you pinky promise, hope to die, that you're going to come, I'll put you down. So there it is. We pinky promised. They said they pinky promised they would come. I don't know how you do that over messaging, but that's what we did. We pinky promised they would come. Guess what, though? They did come. Not only that, they brought friends. So that was even better. Pinky promise, it doesn't mean a lot, does it? I don't know. Did you ever pinky promise when you were growing up? Yeah, you did that little pinky promise. Then you had to do it, right? Unless you crossed your finger. Oh, no, I wasn't supposed to share that part. You had that pinky promise you had to do. Well, God better than pinky promises us. You see here in our passage, in verse 11, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. That last part of the verse tells me that God is working these things according to his will. So that way, and it's not a matter of he's going to give the inheritance and, well, maybe something will come up. You've had that happen, right? You promised to do something, and then something came up, and you blew it. You didn't do that. I did that the other day. I told somebody I was going to stop by their house and drop off M&Ms. I said I'd do it Monday. I didn't. I did it Tuesday. On Monday, I got busy. I said, oh, I didn't get that done. And then saw it. But Tuesday, I did it. I was just a little late. God doesn't work that way. There's no circumstances that will change that, because God does it according to His plan and His will. And that we will be the first first trusted in Christ, that's the first step, should be to the praise of His glory. To Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance. The guarantee, literally the down payment. You go and buy a car. We didn't have to have a down payment, but you put a down payment down that says, I promise that I'm going to pay for this car. When you got the house, oh yeah, you certainly had to put one there. That down payment was a certain amount that was basically a promise that you're going to buy the house. It's kind of like when the kids, they sign up for an event that there's a charge to. They have to put their money in. They're putting their money down as the guarantee that they're going to go. Unless something happens, of course. It's an investment. God has made an investment in every believer's life. That investment is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who seals us. He's a guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. What does that mean? We're going to get heaven. We're going to get all this inheritance. Why? Because God has guaranteed it with His Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, who is He? Well, He is the second person in the Trinity. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They are all, every bit, God, 100% God, individually and together. They're distinct from each other. God the Son, Jesus Christ, came to earth. The Father stayed in heaven while also being everywhere at the same time. How can He do that? Well, He's God. And so you see God the Son here come to earth. And now the Holy Spirit, who empowered, because Jesus being God, could do anything, but He set aside the use of some of His deity, of what He could do, and did it in the power of the Holy Spirit, which is a great example for us. The Holy Spirit who empowered Him, and then He made the promise that He would send the Holy Spirit to not only be with, but in His followers. In Acts chapter 2, that took place. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. He's not a thing, but a person of God. He indwells the believer. He's God indwelling you. He places you into the family, into God's family, by baptizing you spiritually into His family. He enables you to live in a way to honor God. And He gifts you with abilities and desires that you can develop and use to accomplish God's purpose and plan. The Holy Spirit, He fills you, at times gives guidance to your thoughts and words and actions, so that while you're still in control of yourself, He leads you. You see that primarily as in the book of Acts, when it came to speaking forth God's truth, sharing the gospel. He also convicts you of sin, and He reminds you of your salvation. And you see here in our text, He seals you. He's the guarantee of your salvation, the guarantee of your inheritance. And you have to understand, when God gives us, there's no take-backs. There's no disinheriting this. It's a seal. It's a stamp. You are guaranteed to go to heaven. You know, sometimes when we've been saved for a while, we forget these simple truths and how profound they are. Are you guaranteed an inheritance from your parents? No. They can go and they can change the whatever they wrote. Are you, for that matter, maybe the government comes along and takes it all. I don't know. Are you guaranteed when you get out of these doors, get into your vehicle, that when you turn the key, the car won't blow up? Oh, you're not guaranteed that either. It's not likely. We don't really live in a place that usually happens. You're going to go out to eat because Sunday afternoons are made to go out to eat and go home and take a nap because your belly's full. That's why they put golf on TV that day, or car racing. I'm not into car racing. You're not guaranteed to get to the restaurant, are you? There could be somebody that runs the red light, and now you're all going to be terrified. You can get to the restaurant, and while you're eating, you can choke and die or have a heart attack because you would eat the place that I would like to eat, some place where the doctor would not want you to eat. We don't have any guarantees really much in this life, do we? You're guaranteed to be in heaven. And this inheritance, 1 Peter chapter 1, will never perish, spoil, or fade. It is kept or reserved in heaven for you. It is God who keeps it, not we ourselves. So then, Paul writes, I'm convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, nor present, nor the future, nor any powers, nor any height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's the kind of promise that you have. Listen, how do we get this? When we put our faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior, we receive this promise and this inheritance. According to Romans 8:9, when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, that is immediately we receive the Holy Spirit. How do we know? Because the Bible says so. Doesn't necessarily mean that you'll feel some kind of wiggly thing in you. No, God doesn't work in that manner. He can. What it means, though, is that you're guaranteed, you're stamped, you're on your way. There's no hope, so there's a definite. There's a lot of people that hope they'll go to heaven, and they base it on who they are or what they do, and guess what? They're not. Guaranteed, they're not. Why? Because their faith is not in Jesus Christ for their salvation. And you and I need to help them to understand God's inheritance is a gift from God. It is not something earned or deserved. We will never, never could, never will deserve to go to heaven. But because of what Christ did, and when we put our trust in Him, God made us worthy. Finally, maybe you've noticed it as we've gone through this passage. Verses 3 to 14, Paul wants you to know the spiritual gifts that you have and the foundation of them. Notice the foundation of them. You are chosen by God. You are predestined by Him. You are redeemed by Him and what He did. You are given the revelation of the gospel, and you are given an inheritance. But this was for His own purpose, it says. It was according to His plan. It was revealed in His way, in His time, and ultimately it is for His glory. God's nice enough and loving enough to offer salvation. But He's under no obligation. What He did is He did it so that way you and I would glorify Him. We look and see what God has done here in these first verses. Certainly we could take and peel them apart more and just look and fathom at all that Paul has here. But consider this. We're given a promise from God. And part of that promise is that we have His Holy Spirit. He's living in us. He's living in us to help us, to guide us. That's something the world needs, isn't it? It was during the Great World's Fair evangelistic campaign that Mr. Moody had with his workers. They were gathered at the close of the day, and it was customary for them to meet in the evangelist's room for a word of prayer together, and then they'd sing a hymn. They usually sang, "I need thee every hour." Certainly we need Jesus every hour. After singing, Mr. Henry Varley, who was an English evangelist, he says, "I'm not sure that I can subscribe heartily to that sentiment." Seems kind of a surprise. He says, I feel that I need Christ moment by moment, not just every hour. The thought impressed Major D.W. Whittle, and at the close of the prayer session, he went to his room and prompted, he wrote and rewrote and wrote again. Finally, at 2 a.m, it came about. A song. A song that perhaps you might be familiar with, and we're going to sing in a moment, moment by moment. "Dying with Jesus, by death reckoned me mine. Living with Jesus, a new life divine. Looking to Jesus till glory doth shine. Moment by moment, O Lord, I am thine." Father, thank you. Thank you for the great salvation we have. It is absolutely fantastic that we can see the spiritual blessings with which you have blessed us. Father, I pray if there's anyone here that does not have this promise, that now they will have ears to hear, that you'll change their hearts to you, that they will put their trust in what Jesus Christ has done for them. Lord, I thank you for the promise you've given to me, to each one here. As we go through day by day with aches and pains, illness or disease, as we see the sinful activity that happens in the world as corrupt, sinful minds carry about with their own desires. You hear them in words. You see them in actions. You see in the shootings and the murders. You see in the stealings and the thefts. You see it in the disrespect and disregard for human life, for others, for people, just a disrespect. And I pray, Father, that you will help us to recognize that you are the answer. That when you put your spirit in us, you transform us. And while we do struggle with that sin nature until we are fully brought into your presence, we pray, Father, that we will live lives in light of the great inheritance that we have. Knowing we'll be in a new place, we'll have new bodies, new minds. Father, that you will transform what we have into that which is perfect. Lord, indeed, you've given us your Spirit as a guarantee of this. And we thank you that he is in and with us, so that moment by moment, we know you're with us, and we know that you'll fulfill our needs. Now I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.